Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Romans 4 and 20 through 21 says, He, speaking of Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I want you to notice that persuasion precedes what is promised and what is performed. If you are not persuaded, you'll miss the promise and never see God work. The problem with many in their faith and the fears of what's going on in our generation is that they have allowed themselves to become convinced by other things. Their convictions have been watered down. Their deep-hearted principles have suddenly become easily exchanged for superficial things, for those things that are shallow and not nearly as satisfying to the soul, but temporarily gratifying to the flesh. For the Bible says if a man has not the love of God in him, he's going to have the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, because you can't have that triumvirate of appetite for the sinful things of the world and also be in love with the things of God. And we must set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth. So in our behavior, in the things that we're trying to accomplish and how we want to behave and how we want our character to constantly develop, we have to be fully persuaded that what we believe about the apostolic doctrine, what we believe about the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, that what we believe about the incomparable counsel of the Almighty God through His Word, what we believe about the delivering name of Jesus Christ, in the fact that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And for that reason, we baptize people in that only saving name. We have to be fully persuaded now in 2016 more than ever before, because there are more players of deception. There are more voices and whispers of darkness that will come against these foundational and fundamental truths. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You see, the grace is in the were. Such were some of you. Not you're still there, or you can justify daily sins because you're saved by the grace of God. We're no longer servants to that kind of behavior. And so the question to many in this generation is, are they persuaded or perverted? Because if you're persuaded, you walk toward God. But if you're perverted, you run away from God and hide, or you misinterpret the Word of God to fit whatever earthly appetite you want to justify. Those who run and hide know that they are naked, and they know that they are not adequately covered, much like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. In that moment when they disobeyed the Lord, they knew the shame that was upon them and the nakedness that they had. And that's what made them want to run and hide, because the voice of God confronts this spiritual dilemma and this social awkwardness to bring us a covering. Whenever folks are trying to cover themselves, well, that's trouble, because you can't cover yourself. You can't exercise authority over yourself, or at least beyond a certain degree. Obviously, we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We have to have a measure of self-discipline. We have to have faith. But I'm talking about there needs to be someone in authority. You can't exercise authority that you're not under authority. And there are a lot who like to brag about their mission, but you can't boast about your mission if you've forsaken submission, because your calling does not transcend obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, is what Samuel told Saul in that moment when he tried to stand in the stead of the priest and offer sacrifices and really do the work of the ministry that wasn't his position to do. My friend, you need to be fully persuaded of who you are and fully persuaded in what you believe, not easily unsettled, not a double-minded man who is unstable in all of his ways, or someone who is carried about by every wind of doctrine that Paul talked about to the church at Ephesus in the book of Ephesians, but to know that ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:5. So my friend, don't let your spiritual house get demolished by carnal pride. Let it stand strong against spoilers who bring spite to tear down your walls, who bring malice to move your foundations, who bring chisels and saws of arrogance to cut away the flooring of your convictions. Stay away from the carnal enmities, and your spiritual house will stand. Choose holiness over hostility, and your spiritual house will stand. Because you remember what Jesus said, a man that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is like a man who digs deep, and he builds his house upon a foundation. He finds that bedrock, so that when the floodwaters come, when the tide comes in, when the storm winds beat vehemently against the foundation of that house, it's going to stand. But a man that hears the sayings of Jesus and he doesn't do them is like a man that builds his house upon the sand, so that when the floods come, when the unexpected tragedies and trials show up, it has no stability, it has no foundation. There's no anchoring influence in its life or in its lifestyle, and great is the fall of it, is what Jesus said. But you realize that you're a spiritual house, and if you're a part of this holy priesthood of New Testament believers, not just washed in the blood and barely getting by, but living with a spiritual maturity, living on the meat of the Word of God, knowing that every day your relationship with God is improving, that your walk with God is empowering, and it becomes empowering to others. It becomes a light that begins to shine, a testimony to other believers, so that you realize, I'm not going to settle for the meager and beggarly elements of this world. I'm not going to let the whispers of deceivers get me off track or cause me to choose some so-called easy believism detour. No. I'm going to stay on this path, this straight and narrow, because there's really only one word of God. God doesn't talk out of both sides of his mouth. He's yea, yea, and nay, nay. And when he gives a promise that's going to come to pass, and you have to believe that. No matter what you may be facing or the conflicts that you're involved in right now, you must be fully persuaded that what you are believing is a sure word of prophecy that's mentioned in 1 Peter. Because doubts will come in and try to plague your mind, try to make you feel like, oh, what you heard in the preaching the other night is not real. What you felt in the altar when you prayed is not real. Somebody that came along and gave you a word of encouragement, or even gave you a word with a prophetic tone, well, it's not really going to come to pass. And these things will plague you. They'll come against you. But as you keep the spirit of prayer, you also keep that spirit of being fully persuaded that you're not going to stagger to the left or to the right, because you're not intoxicated with selfish ambition. You're not drunk on unholy ambition. But you're full of the Spirit of God. You've got the new wine of the Spirit in you, and you want the things of God. You hunger for His holiness. You thirst for more of His truth. You desire to get closer to Him, to get deeper into the presence of God. And then you realize, you know what? You're part of 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light. You see, chosen generation has to do with the timing. And we know that his truth endures to every generation. God has a special people in any era who stand against error. Oh, a royal priesthood, that has to do with your direct lineage. And you understand that you trace your roots back to the upper room, all the way back to that moment when Apostle Peter stood up with 11 and preached that inaugural message of the Church of the Living God, the power of Pentecost, that rushing mighty wind, the declaration of Acts 2:38. Then it says in Holy Nation, and that has to do with your location in the evil world, because we are to affect our country with the testimony of the cross, changing its character from ruin to revival. And then there is that part that says peculiar people, because that has to do with our separation. We must stand out in our appearance and our attitude and in our aim, not because we're trying to be merely religiously biased or try to show off what we have as some kind of apostolic elitists or with elitism. No, quite the contrary. It's a light to the world. People that sit in the regions of darkness, folks that are tired of depression and despair, of grief and loneliness, they need to be able to see the light and feel the radiant warmth of that light and be drawn to it, because you have a testimony worth telling, and because you are fully persuaded that you wouldn't be alive right now if it wasn't for the grace of God. You wouldn't have the things you have in your possession right now if it wasn't for the goodness of God and His mercy that led you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so whenever you start to give that testimony to somebody, especially when people can tell that you're fully persuaded, they know that you're not just a salesman trying to sell them something because you need a commission, but because you really believe in this product. Well, this is more than a product. This is the gospel. And when you are testifying to somebody about where God brought you from and the miracle deliverance of things that He brought you out of and how He took the broken pieces of your past and put them all together until you are now fitly framed into the body of Christ, you've been made a part of that habitation of God for the dwelling of the Spirit, and you're a part of this great residency. They can tell that because when you speak fully persuaded of what God has done for you. Of course, Paul said in Romans 8, verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." My friend, when you are fully persuaded, you understand that there is no experience that can expunge your faith in God, that there is no trial that can trap you from believing that God can bring you out of that trouble, that there is no distress or pressure that is so powerful that the principles of the Bible and the strength and the peace of God that comes to you, no matter what you're facing, is going to sustain you, that you're going to get through it, that all things are going to work together for the good of them who are the called according to His purpose, that we know that everything is bringing us to the conformity to the image and imagery of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are changing from glory to glory. We are, in a great sense, moving from one degree of faith to the other. It's just like if you walked into your house and somebody had forgot to turn the heat on, and maybe the temperature of the house was 60 degrees, and then you turn the heat on and turn that thermostat to about 70 degrees, and over the next few hours, one degree after another, the temperature in that house begins to increase, and you feel the warmth of that increase. You feel the change in the atmosphere. My friend, we didn't just get the Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Ghost and fire. And so we should be getting more fervent for the things of God, not allowing our love to wax cold or becoming frigid in our faith or iced over with the chilling realities of what we're facing in this generation, But we need the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. We need that passion for the presence of God, knowing that we are consumed by his character. And every day we are growing, even if it's just one more degree, we are growing more and more like him, developing more and more with his love and with his character and with a sense of oneness to the purposes and principles of the Almighty God. You see, there are times you're going to feel hemmed in by the things that are unholy, crowded by the enemy and the adversaries against you, knowing that these hardships, this narrowness, persecution, famine, or nakedness, danger, or sword, all of these things that can come with such increasing intensity that no matter what degree they grow in, they can't match the degree to which your faith has grown. So that all things, no matter how they stack up against you, no matter how overwhelming the odds are, no matter how intense the affliction is, no matter how threatening or even close to martyrdom you might be, you realize with Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ and for me to die is gain, and that we are going to be more than conquerors. That means we're going to keep on being conquerors to a greater degree. Literally, that means you get a victory today, but tomorrow's victory is going to be even more glorious. And next week's victory is going to be even more powerful. And it would be like Samson in the Old Testament. You remember, his eyes were gouged out. His hair had been cut off. He was made to be a sport for a crowd of Philistines in their stadium as he pushed at the grinding mill. But he asked a little boy to lead him over to the pillars when his hair began to grow back. And in a moment of repentance and complete reliance upon the Lord, he asked God to give him strength one more time. So much so that the scripture says that in his death, he defeated and destroyed more Philistines than he had conquered in all of his life. Well, that's what happens with you and I right here when we become more than conquerors. That means when you get through this trial, you're going to have a great victory. But the next trial you go through is going to be even more glorious in victory. It will be as though you had conquered 200 enemies instead of 100. That's a powerful, powerful thought and should bring great increase to our faith and keep you fully persuaded that no matter what you're facing, you're going to overcome it. You're going to get through it. It may not seem like it right now, but God's going to give you the strength and the ability beyond the frailty of your human flesh and beyond the fragile moments when you feel like everything is crumbling around you. God's going to give you the strength to make the stand because you are fully persuaded. Hebrews chapter 11 speaks of several who believed God and had great faith in God, so much that Hebrews 11 and 13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Oh, my friend, when you think about the faith that Abraham had, leaving behind the land of the Ur of the Chaldees, the comforts of his father's business, the inheritance and great financial prosperity that he had in the business there, walking away to look for a city whose builder and maker was God, becoming a stranger in a land that he didn't know, journeying as a pilgrim, and only for a time, looking for that moment when he would finally see the spires of God's castle in the distance through the film on the floor of the desert. What would lie behind or beyond that next ridge, beyond that next desert passage, and never really finding it in this world. But oh, when you think about one of the synonyms for paradise is the bosom of Abraham. He certainly found it beyond the shadows of this life and beyond the grave of this world, having walked with God by great faith, being fully persuaded that everything that God said he was going to do, he was going to do. And if God even had to correct him, he would receive that correction and trust God, because he knew that by following the Lord and being that altar builder and prayer warrior in the early hours of the morning and throughout the day and even in the midnight hours, he would trust God no matter where it led him, no matter what he had to face, and no matter what God would ask of him. See, and you notice that the Bible says that even having seen them afar off, they could understand these promises from a distance and realize you got to be a marathon runner. This isn't just a sprint to the finish line. You don't just get to be in the church and then a few moments later the rapture trumpet sounds. For most, there are hardships you have to endure and days of persecution, and some that are rejected by their own family, and some that go through moments of division and strife and rejection and jealousies and envy and loneliness. But oh, they look for a country of their own and refuse to return to the land that they've left. They refuse to return to a lifestyle that God's brought them out of. And in a generation where many are returning like dogs to their vomit, and prodigals that end up being sad stories of never making it out of the pig pens of what they've returned to, thank God for those who remain faithful. Because the book of Revelation says that Jesus is coming back for the called, the chosen, and the faithful. And there's going to be many opportunities to turn to the left or to the right, or to settle down and say, I'm not going any further. But oh, my friend, when you realize that this is a gospel not to be ashamed of, but to stand in the power of it, to declare it, to walk in it, and every step of faith that you take, oh, it's getting you closer to that moment when the trumpet of the Lord is going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise. And we which are alive and remain, we're going to get caught up. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And this is one of the comforting realities of what we believe and why we are fully persuaded. Now, you have to know that when you're looking at something afar off, there are things that are a lot closer that can become apparently more appealing. They can become more tantalizing. And oh, you don't have to go that far. You don't have to wait that long. You don't have to live for God with those kinds of restrictions. You don't have to live with those kind of boundaries. And who needs those standards? And who needs to live with a certain holiness in their life? You don't have to do all that. But oh, my friend, we are fully persuaded in the Word of God and in being holy and separated to the Lord, because we realize that all the temporal satisfactions of this world pale in comparison to that which is afar off, that which is in the distance, that which is just beyond the horizon. We can't see it right now, but He's been preparing a place for us for almost 2,000 years. Now, how incredible is that going to be? When He created the worlds that we know now in 6 days, and He's been working on our mansion and the place called the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem and a new mansion for over 2,000 years. How splendorous, how glorious, how magnificent is that new heaven and new earth is going to be when He finally gets to take that blueprint and put it into action. And we see that. Some days are going to come when it feels like, man, it would be a whole lot better to just throw in the towel and give in to the spirits of the age and just gratify your flesh and fill your appetites with whatever makes you feel better and whatever will bring a moment of ecstasy or superficial relief of pain and all those things that might make you feel like you're just soaring through the clouds. I mean, folks are bound by drugs and alcohol and going into all kinds of experimentations to try to escape the realities of this world. But my friend, what we see in the distance isn't a fairy tale, isn't a fictional plot of a group of religious elitists. It's the faith. It's what's going to happen someday. And we are fully persuaded. So no matter what you're facing today, refuse to give up what you've put your faith in for so long. In Jesus' name.
And I love to sing. It's worth it. Sounds like music in my ears. Sweet name. Oh, that's everybody saying.
Never need.
And some
This is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.